We're in Acts chapter 6, 1-7. This morning, Christ's work to delegate out ministry responsibilities to enhance discipling. When human needs arise in a church, but the pastoral party or parties are humanly insufficient to meet those needs while performing God's assigned will in the ministry, the pastoral party parties must delegate out ministry responsibilities to other qualified leaders to see that the church fulfills God's will. And this important principle greatly affects us as a body. I buy into it literally, or figuratively speaking, wholeheartedly, because I think it's absolutely essential for the health of the body. And so it's beneficial for us to view it. I'd like to look to God in prayer before we get into the passage itself. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your work in our hearts and our lives, and for the passage that we have in front of us, for the indwelling Spirit of God to clarify its meaning and application to us. We ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the passage, and then a dependence upon the Spirit of God to apply it effectively for blessing in the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read the passage, and then we'll look at it in the lesson. Acts chapter 6, 1-7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrew, or the itinerant Jews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration, actually in the food distribution. Then the 12, that's the apostles, called the whole multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not proper or reason that we should leave the word of God and wait on tables or to serve food. Wherefore, brothers, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on increasing, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Okay, while the early church in Jerusalem was numerically expanding, Grecian Jews complained against Hebrewistic Jews that their Grecian widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. Just let me remind you what's going on here. As people are getting saved, people recognize that there are needs in the body of people who are being saved. So some of the wealthier people are selling some of their extra lands, their extra homes and so forth, and then they're coming and laying the financial proceeds of these sales at the feet of the apostles. The apostles are in the process of distributing this out. Now, you've got a problem, a potentially volatile problem, and we have to understand the culture to get this. Hebraistic Jews had long segregated against Jews who adopted pagan Grecian culture as being worldly and thus ungodly. So for these Grecianized Jewish widows not to be fed from the donations reignited deep cultural hurts. See, when Alexander the Great came through and he conquered the area, he tried to Hellenize, is what the term is. He tried to Grecianize and pass the Greek culture along so that he could have greater control over the people. Some of the Jews bought into this. They went ahead and adopted Greek culture, the Greek language, some of the practices, and they actually lived in Grecianized-type Jewish communities. There was another group of which the Lord Jesus and the apostles were a part. They resisted the Grecianized influx, and they kept to their Hebrew culture. And what happened is there was a huge rift between the Hebrew Jew and the Grecianized Jew over here. A lot of it, for example, it'd be the difference between a group of people from Connecticut and a group of people from Mississippi. Culturally, they don't really meet. There's just sort of naturally a distance that is there. Now, what had happened is the Hebrewistic apostles did not have a wide circle of acquaintance with people in the Grecianized community, so they didn't even know who all the widows were, let alone who all the Grecian widows were that weren't being fed. That's not the way it was read by the rest of the people in the Grecianized community. Them, it looked like the apostles were overlooking or intentionally omitting these widows from the food. So you could see the potential for a tremendous rift within the church was arising. Well, since the apostles were all Hebrewistic Jews, they knew their circle of contact being limited largely to the Hebrewistic Jewish community was part of the problem behind the issue. For their circle of communication was humanly limited, leading to their total ignorance of the Grecian Jewish widow need. So, to solve the problem, the Hebrewistic apostles called the entire assembly together, both Hebrewistic and Grecian Jews alike, to explain the problem and to offer an edifying solution. I think this is so very good. Verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. This, in my book, is credence for a congregational meeting. Because what happens is when they called this group together, something unusual happened that was in violation even of Jewish culture. The leaders asked the group that they believe was controlled by the Spirit of God to actually nominate and set forth qualified men, and they would condone their approval. Now, we don't even do that in our church. In our church, what we do, we have the leaders set forth the nominees for various offices, and then the congregation condones it. The congregation was putting forth the nominees, and the congregation was voting on it. The apostles then ratified it as they looked at these men and noticed the qualifications and so forth. So there's a plenty of emphasis here on a congregational polity. At least the influence is there. When the Spirit of God comes upon the people as a whole, if they're controlled by the Spirit of God, function just fine. So that's why they call the whole multitude together. Now, in calling the entire church together, the apostles revealed that the Grecian widows had been overlooked not intentionally, but due to their own need to spend time ministering God's word as a priority in the ministry versus detracting from that to reach widows outside their own circle of contact. Verse 2, it is not proper, it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now this is a statement. The apostles are saying it's more important that we spend time studying the word of God than that we feed hungry widows. Now widows who are hungry need to be fed. They got to live. But it's not their job. That's the job of somebody else. So the ministry of the word is important. There are many times when I've gotten into my office and I've got administrative papers hanging all over the place. Park it. Because my mind works best in the early mornings. That gets parked till the afternoon. The first thing is the word of God, because that's what the flock of God needs. Get that out of the way. And then address these other administrative duties. That's one reason I put such a high priority. My calling can never get to the point where it substitutes the word of God for something else. Now, the apostles then told the congregation to choose 7 men who were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to whom they could delegate the ministry of handling the donations and the distributions. And the apostles would give themselves to their task of prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, the reason 7, often when you go into a Jewish community, if you don't have 12 men to set up a sort of a board for establishing a new synagogue, when you go into the community, they start off with a board of 7. That's just been a Jewish practice for many centuries. And normally these men would set themselves, they would be set up by the Jewish community as leaders of the community and be sort of like a tribal unity where you've had tribal leaders that would come and they would kind of control things that went on in the community. So this was a common practice. So they said, you look 7 men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom whom we may appoint over this business, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So that was the point that the apostles made. They wanted to select 7 men and they would give themselves to the word. Now, giving yourself to the word as an apostle matches what God wants for pastors. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, you, Timothy, give attendance to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Stop neglecting the spiritual gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the elders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them that your profiting may appear to all. And then he emphasizes it again. Take heed to yourself and to the teaching, continue in them, for in doing this you'll save yourself and them that hear you. And the saving in the context is saving themselves from going into apostasy back in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul also says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I charge you, this is a military term, I give you a military charge, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge both the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. So a pastor cannot get away from preaching the word. He has to. He's under commission, and he's under a charge from God to stay at the ministry of the word. And the apostles said this, look, we've got to stay with this. You choose the men. So they did. And you'll notice this directive pleased the whole multitude, and that for several reasons. First of all, this saying candidly explained that the problem of the unfed widows was not grounded in bias on the part of the apostles, but in their human limitations as Hebrewistic Jews. They needed to be preoccupied with God's word over other ministries. And then, this priority of being occupied with the word, coupled with their limited circle of contact, could not adequately enable them to meet the need of the Grecian widows. One of the things you learn when you get into the ministry as a pastor is that you're a human being. And even though you have a supernatural gift, as a human being, your circle of contact is automatically limited. You're not a specialist in regards to society. So the friends that you have obviously will be just as limited just as anybody else in the congregation. Now that creates an automatic need. The congregation cannot depend solely upon the pastor to meet all the needs. He doesn't have the human capability of doing that. He doesn't even have the awareness of what the needs are. The rest of the congregation knows, so he needs help. He's good in his area, but he's very focused. And even if you get two or three pastors, they're still focused. They're just human beings. So you have to have a group of people. This is why we have boards and so forth. But boards have to be in touch with various people within the congregation just to even define the needs, let alone to address them. Very, very important. So the apostles' suggested solution to this problem was met with acceptance. For the apostles had demonstrated the eagerness to delegate the handling of the important donation ministry to others. The congregation knew were aware of their needs, meaning they were sensitive to these needs that they could not meet. See, the apostles are saying, look, we're trying to be candid with you. We don't even know who all the widows are. We probably never will. I mean, we've got 8,000 people now. We can't keep on top of this. So you select the men. Now, what's interesting is the congregation chose seven men, and every single one of them had Grecian names. They didn't have Hebrewistic names. Now, that tells me something. The congregation said, you know, part of the problem is we have Hebrewistic apostles. Okay, that's what God's will is. So they want seven men. We're going to have Grecianized men. So we've got 12 apostles who are Hebrewistic. We have seven men who are Grecianized. There's balance. There's balance throughout the congregation. This is why it is so important to have balance in the leadership in the church, so that everyone in the body feels that there's someone on the board that they feel comfortable enough to go and just level with. That's very, very wholesome. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I think it's great. Because then when we meet together, whether we're meeting as a congregation, whether we're meeting as a board, people have a voice and people have the liberty to go ahead and to share what the particular needs are. So they chose seven men who would handle the donations of the body. And it's interesting here, very early in the history of the church, the men who were involved in the teaching of the word donated or gave out or delegated out the whole issue of donations. I think that's extremely important. The board and I are right now working in a matter that deals with donations and that particular aspect of the ministry. My whole salary comes from donations. As far as I can, I seek to remove myself from administrative and executive decisions and activities in regards to what goes on with the offering boxes. It's a conflict of interest. Not so with the board, because the board, their salary is totally independent of that. So I think it's very, very healthy, the situation that we have. And this is what they did in the early church. The apostles delegated this ministry, the whole issue of I believe they handled the intake as well as the outtake, or maybe the money kept coming to the apostles. The apostles would turn it right over to these guys. I don't believe that stayed too long. They probably eventually just started donating directly towards these men who were responsible for distributing these goods out. And as a result, they set them, verse 6, before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on him. Now, laying your hands on someone is very, very important. That signifies acceptance. That also signifies a delegation of authority.
The authority of the apostles in this realm is now delegated out to these men. This becomes very important because Stephen is one of the men, and Stephen is going to be the first martyr of the church. And Stephen's testimony has a tremendous effect on the Apostle Paul, which leads the Apostle Paul to have an enormous effect on his missionary outreach to the ends of the earth, so to speak. So God right away is beginning to involve various aspects of the church in a very widening circle of contact as far as the ministry is occurring. Now, notice what happens. Verse 7, the word of God increased. Why was the word of God increasing? Because the apostles were freed up to stay at it. If the apostles had continued giving themselves wholly to this distribution of food, let's say they could eventually have found out who all the Grecian widows were, the ministry of the word wouldn't have gone. If you don't have the ministry of the word, you're not going to have the church healthy or growing. You have to have men who can give themselves totally to the word. But also, verse 7, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. The reason it was multiplying is because they had a good testimony. Why? Because their widows are being fed. So you've got the word going on, you've got the widows being fed, so you've got the testimony of the church, and that's why people come to Christ. The word's going on, and these seven men are doing their job. And notice also, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now the priests generally lived off of the tithes of the people of Israel to them. A lot of their income came from tithes. They were impressed by the way the church was taking care of the Grecianized widows. Very impressed. And that attracted these priests to come to Christ. So, huge lesson. When the need exceeded the human resources of the apostles to minister in God's will and their calling, they delegated out responsibilities to other qualified men so God's will could be accomplished. So may pastors use their limited human resources to minister God's word as their first priority. And may the church assume responsibility for the needs that pastors cannot humanly oversee. Three, this is just as important, may pastors then be willing to delegate ministry responsibilities to others for the glory of God. This is something I have longed for, and I know that God calls us to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, the things that you've learned, you commit to faithful men who in turn can teach others. Delegating out responsibility, ministry to the church is extremely important, and that's something I'm seeking to do on an increasing basis. Of course, you have to have qualified people. You have to have people who are consistent, who will take the baton and run with it. But this is an important function of the church. Only when this delegation can occur and when the ministry spreads out and the church assumes that responsibility and takes it can you actually have a healthy spiritual growth and numerical growth in the body.